go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 44 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. I had a friend of mine a couple nights ago, goes by the name Wavy Dave or Dave Wavy. He's an odd fellow. I believe most people would agree with that. He was asking me if I purposely move my hands a lot during these episodes of Verbal Graffiti. He says they're somewhat hypnotizing to him. And he told me about a book about how people use their hands to hypnotize people while speaking. Just side note, I'm really happy that I'm able to say that word now, hypnotize, because that's one of those words I used to stumble over all the time. Today was the first day I'm able to say it or pronounce it correctly, so pat on the back to the B-Man. No, I don't purposely move my hands to hypnotize all seven of you. I will say, though, when I was picking out a chair for Verbal Graffiti, I was very particular, and it took me a couple months and a number of Goodwill stores and like antique stores to find this one, because I wanted a chair that had arms. I did not want to be like this and looking like a little beta male that I am. I wanted to have arms I could put my elbows on so I could feel comfortable. But as to the moving my hands, that's just natural, because I don't know what to do with my hands. And when I'm standing up, they're always in my pocket, and that's why I like having arms on my chair. And I'm not smart enough to know how to hypnotize any of you. I don't even know all the planets. Pluto, is it one? Is it not one? Who knows? Saturn, I believe that is one. But I can't name all eight or nine of those. So no, there's no voodoo going on with this. This is just how I speak. And I guess I speak with my hands. And no, I am not Italian. Obviously, I'm very pale, even though I do have a bit of a tan. Okay, enough about myself. Two episodes ago, how should I say it? I believe you can really talk things into existence. And two episodes ago, I opened the episode mentioning how I've been noticing more aggressive drivers late at night on the highway. Let me tell you about an experience I had last night. The B-Man was in New Haven at Open Mic at Dangle's Wings, one of the best wing spots in New Haven. It's a weekly spot, a lot of regulars there. I had a great set. There's a couple there, a black lady, busty, a heavyset woman. Her and her man, I love them. A lot of comics don't like them because they like to speak a lot during other people's sets, which is a major no-no. But I enjoy them. I enjoy bantering back and forth with them. The husband, you know, he smokes a lot of weed. The lady has a great personality once she gets a couple cocktails in her. I enjoyed the set. Everybody else had a great set. It's one of those great nights to be a comedian. Weather was perfect. The sun was out late. Everyone had a good time because we all did well on stage. So everyone was chopping it up. And the vibes were very, very high last night after the open mic. I did not stay, though, because I wanted to go to another spot. Because of B-Man, I'm hustling. I'm trying to get ahead in this comedy game, even after 10 years. So I told everyone, hey, peace out. The B-Man's going. So I get on the highway. I'm on I-91 going towards Middletown. It's about 25 minutes away. There's a lot of road work now being done where I live on the highway. And there's this merger where it's all being done. So I was merging. I got off 91 and back on 91. And there was this merger. There was a lot of traffic. Like, it wasn't standstill, but it was moving very slowly. And in front of me was an 18-wheeler. And in front of the 18-wheeler was a small sedan. I don't know. It might have been a Hyundai or Subaru. I'm not a car guy. But the sedan was trying to like merge onto I-91. And there was enough space and traffic was slow enough where I believe the 18-wheeler should have let the sedan in. The 18-wheeler did not let the sedan in. But the sedan thought she had a right of way. The 18-wheeler did not stop. He was like, I'm not having any of this. Bumped the sedan as she was trying to get onto the highway. And I was right behind those two, and they were blocking the exit I had to get off of to get to my other spot. And I'm like, oh, baby, this, I hope they just keep going because I got to get off this exit. Nope. The driver of the 18-wheeler gets out of his truck. Let me describe him. Skinny guy, white guy, wearing a gray wife beater. He goes directly up to the door of the sedan, bangs on the window, has some words for the driver. I probably include some expletives if I had to guess. He gets back into his 18-wheeler after, I don't know, 20 seconds of letting out his frustration. The driver of the sedan waits about 20 seconds. She gets out of her car, small Asian lady, puts up her phone and takes a video of the 18-wheeler and specifically the what do you call that? The license plate, you know, the one with the numbers. I'm an idiot. I don't know. And she's just taking a number so that she'll have evidence for the cops. And the 18-wheeler truck, like he's fucked. I hope he gets in trouble and loses his job because we were stuck there. He should have let the lady in. But here's the thing. I'm like, well, I gotta still get off the exit. So I put my emergency blinkers on because I don't know what to do. They're blocking the exit. There's all those orange cones that are kind of blocking everything. There's a road work sign that's blocking the exit. But I'm like, well, what the fuck am I supposed to do? Because I'm not going to keep going down 91. So what I did is I surveyed the situation. I was kind of peeping forward. I went around the sedan. I gave the lady a kind of a solidarity fist. She had gotten back in her car, but I do believe she saw me. I wasn't going to get out of my car and try to help her out. I'm not that good of a Samaritan. I'm self-centered in that way. So what I did is I kind of did a U-turn on the highway and went like around an orange cone. Might have knocked one down. Went over one of the road signs. Thankfully, it didn't pop any of my tires. I got on the highway and went about my way. I know we're supposed to support 18-wheeler truck drivers. I do not. I have inner rage towards these drivers of these pickup trucks because these 18-wheelers, they think they have dominion over every highway and freeway in the nation, and they do not. Those roads are not for you. They are for all of us, and they are the ones who tailgate me the most and use their high beams at midnight against me more than any other type of driver, and like, I don't know what the fuck is going on with 18-wheelers. Like, some of them drive the speed limit. Some of them are going, like, 20 miles over the speed limit, and it doesn't matter, and they all will ride your ass and put their high beams on you, and I have no, there's nothing I can do, because obviously they're bigger than me, and I'm not going to get out of my car. Thankfully, this little Asian lady did, and, you know, took video of it, and I do not have that, that's not in my repertoire yet of the, if there's going to be an altercation, immediately take my phone out and video it. Maybe that's an age thing. I was born kind of before cell phones really became what they are today. So that's not a move I have. Like, I always have a go fuck yourself in my back pocket. I'll give you some expletives. I'll give you some four letter words, but I am not going to filming it. It's not, I need to learn that move because that lady, like, she was right on it with that. I know, like, the country, everyone has solidarity with these 18-wheelers. I loved them as a kid. You know, you drive by, honk, 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 and they would give you the honk sign. But as an adult, now that I've been driving, they've been nothing but troublesome to me. And here's how you know truck drivers are terrible people. They willingly cheat on their wives with lot lizards. Like, there are hookers that truck drivers use so often that they give them their own name, lot lizard. That tells you the type of person that is a truck driver. And just let's be real. If you're a truck driver, you're not a good people person. Because if you were, you'd be working in an office or on a construction site, or you'd be a client facing or doing some type of customer service. But you know, those the type of people that are truck drivers, they don't work well with other people. That's why they become truck drivers. And that's why I do believe who's a villain that's not like a killing villain. They're villains on the road. That's what they are. They're just villains for us civilians who are in our normal size vehicles who are not getting paid to drive. 18-wheelers. Get out of my way. Let's get back into this episode 44, into our first subreddit. This comes from Crazy Ideas. Toilet paper that's free, but there's ads printed on them. There's coupons to tear off too. The B-man says, take that crazy idea and flush it down the toilet. Okay, enough with the hacky jokes. I am very particular when it comes to my toilet paper. I do not want single ply toilet paper, and I do believe any kind of toilet paper that has advertisements written on each square is going to be single ply Scotts type toilet paper. And as I mentioned last episode, I have a very hairy ass, so I need a double ply, a double roll Charmin Ultra toilet paper only. Thank you very much. Please come again. That is the only type of toilet paper I've used. Even when I go out, I generally try not to poop in public, because all the toilet paper in public that you're going to get at a restaurant, a bar, a fast food joint, a gas station stop on the highway, it's going to be single ply, and it's going to tear your ass apart, and you're going to need like aloe moisturizer to put on your ass cheeks before you go to bed to help heal that. I am Scotch toilet paper is like roommates you have in your 20s. Like, you leave them there and go out and get your own place, says the guy who still lives with his mom as a 40-year-old. I do believe, and I think I have mentioned this before, that we are products of our environment. I am the youngest of five. And there was a number of years where all seven of us, my parents included, were living in a three-bedroom house. We had two bathrooms, and all five kids had to share one bathroom. So I did not get much time to poop, because there was always someone else who had to use the bathroom. And I had three sisters. So I'm a very quick pooper. I'm very proud of the fact that I can poop quickly and do so often. Hardly ever am I in a bathroom for longer than 5 minutes. I'm not reading magazines. I'm not scrolling through X or Instagram and seeing how few likes I'm getting on all my reels. I'm not reading a book. I'm not doing any of that. I'm going in, spreading my butt cheeks, pooping, wiping a bunch, and then getting out, after flushing and washing my hands. I'm not putt-putting around in there. In, out. I would not be a good guy to be giving toilet paper with advertisements on it, because I'm not going to take the time to read the ads, because I have been conditioned to poop in and out like I'm in the Marines. In, out, and then go back to the front line. And plus, Nick, I was actually thinking about this. Like, what kind of companies would put advertisements on toilet paper? It'd be Hims. It would be, you know, ED medications, CBD creams, Kratom, gold, silver. And I already get enough of those advertisements when I listen to comedy and conspiracy theory podcasts. Like, I don't need any other avenue where I'm getting those same shitty advertisers, pun not included. And you don't want to be the guy or gal who's actually using a coupon that you got from a square of toilet paper. Like, I implore you, it's bad enough that you're buying your government sanctioned cheese from Save-A-Lot. I implore you, please don't also be the guy who pulls out a square of toilet paper that has a coupon on it to save 20 cents of a Tutti Frutti's, the off-brand, generic brand of Fruit Loops. Like, if you're doing that, the guy behind you in line who's ready to use his EBT card, like, he's going to look at you with the crooked eye and be like, dude, get your life together. Like, that everybody's going to be looking down on you if you're using coupons that you ripped off of a single-ply toilet paper. Don't be that guy. Be better. Strive to be a better person. Strive to make humanity a better place to live. And also, if you're really, really hard up for toilet paper, if this is like, you know, COVID, month one, everyone went out and bought all the toilet paper, and there's no access to any, just go out and steal it. Anytime I go on Twitter or X, I see videos of just people, like groups of people going into a CVS and just going down the aisle and just knocking things into a garbage bag. So if you're really hard up, just go to a Walgreens, go to a CVS, your local grocery store, and just take the toilet paper. Like, they're not going to arrest you. I think in Connecticut, as long as you're stealing less than $900, you get slap on the wrist, they let you out in a few hours, and you go poop in the privacy of your own home with the TP that you stole. One little antidote with this before we get to some photos. Years ago, I worked for a company called Reese, and I said a name because they laid me off, and I think they merged with another company. I was living in New York City, working on Fifth Ave. I was making less than $30,000 a year, so at the time, I didn't really have the funds to always be getting the Charmin Ultra toilet paper. So what I would do is I would steal toilet paper from my office. It wasn't single ply. It wasn't double ply either. It was actually a pretty, as far as offices go, it was actually a pretty, like, the substance of the toilet paper, it was doable. Like, I could poop in the office and not feel like it would get rid of all my mush between my legs. But I knew, like, every Monday there were racks of toilet paper, so I would go and take a couple. And I think for over a year, I never paid for toilet paper. So if you're really, really hard up, just go to your place of employment and steal toilet paper from them. And if you're working from home, just go to a restaurant and they have like those huge rolls. Just rip that open, take one, and you have TP for a month. Advertisements on TP is like, dude, I get so angry that the fucking Yankees have a star insurance advertisement on the sleeve of their jerseys. And everywhere we go, we're inundated with advertisements. Like, me in my toilet, like, that's solitude. Like, I don't want the CEO of Pfizer putting an advertisement between me and my asshole. Like, that's a sanctuary for me. So, terrible idea. I hope you pop a tire, and I hope an 18-wheeler gets right behind you, puts his high beams on you, and maybe even bumps you a little bit. Let's go see some photos that the B-Man took. The B-Man got invited to a bonfire tonight. My buddy Burger, yes, that's his name, Burger, he was having a fire in the back of his house. He told me there were going to be plenty of PBR and Coors Original on ice. He said anything else you wanted to drink, though, is BYOB. Well, the B-Man, there's nothing I love more than cheap beer, so I was planning on drinking all his beer and not bringing any of my own for the party because I am a scavenger like that. But I'm not going because I'm doing this episode of Verbal Graffiti. The sacrifices you make for the game. And to be honest with all of you, all seven of you that are watching this, it's not a sacrifice at all because I really wouldn't have enjoyed myself there. I do love bonfires and I do love PBRs. But the only thing I would do there is, this is kind of how my mind works at parties, is I would be there And all I would be thinking about is, how soon can I leave this party without it being rude and having everybody ask why I left so early? And I'd be planning my Irish exit the minute after I got there. Unless there was like a hot babe that I could stare at her all night, which there aren't many of those in Connecticut comedy. So most likely I would have gotten there and I just would have been playing the Irish exit. And I do not say goodbye to people. I do not do that. Because once you say goodbye to one person, especially if it's a party type environment, you got where you know people, then you got to say goodbye to everybody. And that ends up being a 15 and a half hour minute ordeal, which I just try to avoid at all cost. And also, when I wouldn't be able to get drunk at the party because I would have had to drive there. And then I wouldn't want to drive home drunk because I try to avoid doing the whole DUI thing. So I would just sip on my drink. And who wants to sip on a PBR if you're not actually going to get intoxicated from it? So I'm glad to be here with all of you right now. And also remember, we are now a podcast on Spotify, Apple, and then you can still continue to watch episodes of Verbal Graffiti on YouTube. And as always, if you know any busty friends between the ages of 20 and 30, please let them know about Verbal Graffiti and have them subscribe and listen to all of this smut that I am spewing to all of you. Let's get back into the episode. This one's a bit of a longer one, but I do believe the payoff will be worth it. Comes from the subreddit Testosterone. I need some of that. Is this to be expected if your dude has high test? My husband cycles once or twice a year, low doses. He is an excellent man, believes in discipline and sacrifice and stoicism. Still don't really know what stoicism means. He is constantly thinking of me and wanting to do things to make my life better without me knowing it. He told me during a conversation, that's how I'm aware. The one thing is, he loves flirting with other women. Doesn't cheat, is pretty honest with me, online or in person. In person happens seldom, typically at a strip club or if he is on a guy's trip. I know your sex drive is insane when you cycle. He doesn't really believe in monogamy, but loves me more than anything in the world. I don't really believe in him flirting and talking to other women for fun or practice or whatever, but I figure it's a sacrifice I make since he is married to me. We have two beautiful children together. I have offered divorce so he could be free to go conquer the female world, but he does not want that. He wants to be my husband. It just bothers me. The flirting, the desire, I feel it. Without him telling me, I feel it. Can a guy who has high testosterone, who considers himself to be a man of upstanding character, give me some insight, please? I certainly will. How are you with your ladies? How do you handle the urge to hunt and conquer? Are you honest with your girl, or do you keep this to yourself? Do you wish you had more freedom? Do you wish you had less? There's one sentence in your post that symbolizes men to a T. Let me try to cite that one more time. This is a sentence that could define most 99% of heterosexual men. He doesn't really believe in monogamy, but he loves me more than anything in the world. Those things don't coexist. I hate to break it to you. Actually, I do enjoy breaking it to you. Your husband does not love you. He is cheating on you. This marriage is over. O-V-A. Over. The sooner you see it, the sooner you can move on with your life. This guy, he can say he loves you, but you don't trust a man by what he says. Trust a man by his actions, his behaviors. And everything he is doing is telling me, and it should tell you, that he loves getting strange more than getting you or being married to you in this instance, because that's what he's doing. And I know he tells you he wants to go out and conquer the world but still be with you. Like, this guy's not Genghis Khan. He's not going out and trying to, you know, pillage half the world. Like, this guy, you know, not all Genghis Khans and not all kingdoms are equal. Like, he's just going out and trying to get the waitress from the local Chili's. That's what he wants. He loves the strange. He's not married to you. He is married to you, but he's not practicing fidelity with you. That's how I should explain it all. Now, listen, if he was going to strip clubs and buying a lap dance or, you know, going out with the boys, and, you know, boys will be boys, and he was flirting during the lap dance or just out at a club with his guys for a bachelor party, that's one thing. I'm okay with that. I don't love it as a friend of you now. If I were his wife, like, I'd be like, hey, like, you gotta stroke your ego every once in a while. If you're paying the stripper while she has her ass cheeks all over your chest, that's a business transaction. It's make believe world. Where this is going haywire and where your man is taking it too far is he's doing it online. That should signify the end of your marriage, because if you two are at a grocery store or you're at a ball game or you're just somewhere in public together and a lady gives him the sexy eyes and he gives her the smile back, and maybe there's a little bit of flirtation conversation they have right in front of you, that's living life. That's while you're out and about. Like, he wasn't seeking it. It was just there in a moment. And is that an asshole move? Would I do that? No, because I am a good man. Sometimes I'm a good man. But again, that's just stroking his ego. Maybe you could talk to him afterwards or even during it and be like, hey, I don't like that. That's disrespectful to me. That's one thing, but that's real life. Where he's doing is he's seeking out validation. But that's what going online is he's seeking out strange to flirt with. And doing so tells me that he's on the prowl for strange to fuck. He's not just doing it to stroke his ego. And here's a problem. He just said he's going online. He says there's nothing's going to happen. I'm just having fun, just trying to improve my self-esteem. Well, sooner or later, there's going to be somebody who responds to one of his cheesy opening lines. They're going to start a conversation. One thing's going to lead to another, and they're going to end up balls deep in each other in the back of your medium-sized SUV that you pay for half of, and he's doing that. Like, he's doing that. I guarantee you right now, he has his shaft inside of your real estate agent. This guy is a certified asshole. He's not a good husband. Everything you say he is, a loving husband, faithful, devoted, stoic, whatever the fuck stoic means, he's none of that. I almost wish I could be, no, I'm not going to say naive, because I don't really believe you're naive. I believe you know what's going on. Just you're lying to yourself, and that's what I'm jealous of. Let me set the scene. January 1st, 2023. I know, where the fuck are you going with this, B-Man? Where the fuck are you going with this? We'll get there. Just trust the B-Man on this ride. My New Year's resolution, January 1st, 2023, was I wanted to become a better liar. I failed miserably. All year, I did not learn how to lie, and I did try. The B-Man did try to lie to friends and family. I don't have a poker face. I'm filled with guilt whenever I try to, you know, tell a fib, and I just didn't, like, I don't know how to do it. I've never done it in the past. Like most resolutions, they fail within a month. But I did do some self-reflection, and I figured it out. I figured out why I am unable to lie to others, and it's because I haven't figured out yet how to lie to myself. And to be able to lie to other people with a straight face, you need to be able to lie to yourself. And that's what you're doing here with your husband. Like, you know what he's doing is foul. It's against the vows that you gave each other the day of your marriage. You know he is not acting proper, and he is probably getting his dick wet in other strange pussy. But you're lying. You're able to lie to yourself, and that's how you're able to look at this dynamic you have with your husband, where you're allowing, like, you're convincing yourself that he's actually not doing anything wrong. It's because you're able to lie to yourself about it all. And I'm not able to do that. I'm not able to lie to myself about things, about the way I feel, about the way I act, about my thoughts and my life. And that's what I'm jealous about. I want to get to the point you are, not relationship-wise, lying to myself-wise. And that's where you're at. And it's almost like we need to reverse spots. Like, you need to have more of my mind. So hopefully you're one of the, 15 people watching Verbal Graffiti, and you'll confront your man and say, hey, quit it with the flirting. Like, if you're on the high test and you're super horny all the time, I should be the one benefiting. As your wife, you should be dicking me down every single night. I should be having to buy lube wholesale. I should be the one that's getting the benefits of all this high testosterone and all this horniness that you're literally injecting inside of your butt cheeks once a week or a month or however often you do testosterone. But again, here at Verbal Graffiti, we're here to offer solutions. As I mentioned in the very beginning of this, your marriage is over because your husband is a whore and he's cheating on you with the strains all around you. What do we do? As your best friend, I advise you, and this is legal advice, you need to collect evidence. Hire a private investigator. Start tracking your man on his phone. I'm sure there's somehow you can track him. Put a tracker on his car. Put a mini camera in every single room in your house, in your backyard, in your front yard that he doesn't know is there. The whole key is to catch him in the act of cheating. That way, the more evidence you have, the bigger settlement you're going to get during the divorce proceeding. And that's what I want you to get the bag. Like, if your husband is cheating on you and getting all this strange in town, you deserve all of it. You deserve the house. You deserve the SUV that he's cheating on you with. You deserve your two beautiful children, full custody. You deserve the beach house. You deserve alimony. You deserve monthly payments of at least $5,000 per month. You deserve it all. So the more evidence you can collect before you, hit him with those divorce papers, the better for you. There was one other thing I wanted to mention. I wrote it somewhere. Was there something else about? I think that's everything. So to your husband and to everybody else, go suck a fat one.